It is Monday night. It is March 4th, 2024. Episode 381 of the Tan and J-Man Show is live on the ISC Sports Network, on the ISC Sports Network X page, on the ISC Sports Network YouTube channel, as well as the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page and the Tan and J-Man Show X channel. Give us a follow on all of our social media if you haven't already at Tan and J-Man Show. And if you're listening to this episode on your favorite audio podcast platform, please give us that 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate it. With all that said, I'm Tanner Lee. Co-host Josh the J-Man Munn is a state away in Illinois, but he's to the right on my screen. J-Man, how are we doing tonight?
Doing all right. Doing pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah, you got to be enjoying the nice little spring preview weather we're getting.
Yeah, back-to-back Mondays. It's been in the 70s, so cannot complain. Hopefully it's not going to, but hopefully we can kind of coast into the summer a little bit.
Yeah, I'm still expecting one more big cold front to come in, maybe one more potential snowstorm. I don't know. Hopefully not. It's been a pretty mild winter for our Midwest standards, I think, so. Yeah. Well, yeah, we will see. But we have plenty to talk about on the docket tonight. So let's get right into it. Hopefully you have a tie-breaking birdie or bogey question with you tonight.
I do. Last time Purdue made the Final Four was 1980.
Yes, sir.
Can you name me the 5 teams they played in the NCAA tournament?
No. Maybe a couple, but not 5.
There's also a bonus to this one that I won't give you any extra credit. It'll just be more props. Back then, they played a third place game. Yes. Can you name me who they played in that third place game?
I know I've seen it, but I've got a guess, but I'm not too confident.
So, Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House has upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana. Pizza Monday, Supreme Pizza, Dill Pickle Pizza. Call 574-223-7101 to order out. And every Monday, $2 whole smoked wings, $1 off domestic brewskis. And they introduced their salad of the month back a few days ago. A Cobb salad, a delectable combination of mixed greens, savory bacon, grilled chicken, tangy blue cheese crumbles, red onion, and fresh tomato. I know my wife would be all over that one. Big fan of the Cobb salad.
They keep adding more and more things, more and more specials. I'm a big fan of pizza. So Pizza Monday's right up my alley. So I like
Pizza Monday, Taco Tuesday. I love days where I can just eat, which is every day.
Which is every day. I was going to say, okay, LeBron, with your Taco Tuesday, which which LeBron is going to be a topic of tonight's show at some point.
Pick 6?
No. I have 6 good ones, I think, but I thought about putting them in there, but I thought we would transition him into our first topic of the night, which I want to talk about Miss Caitlin Clark of Iowa. She became the NCAA Division I all-time leading scorer, passing Pistol Pete Maravich over the weekend. What are your thoughts on Caitlin Clark overall?
She is, without a doubt, in my opinion, the greatest female college basketball player of all time. Maybe the greatest women's basketball player ever. It'll see how her career goes in the WNBA. She is going to the WNBA. Her time in college is done. She could have used her COVID year for that 5th year, but I think she was probably – she might be done with college. She might not want to hear people talk about, well, she wouldn't have this record if she wouldn't have, which she broke the record in 4 years anyway. The craziest thing about Pistol Pete is he didn't play his freshman year of college because they didn't play freshmen back then, and he didn't have a 3-point line.
Correct.
So that kind of puts it into perspective, which is ridiculous.
He also shot, and I'm going to bring this up, Thad Mooney, a good friend of the show, loyal listener. He sent me a crazy stat. So Caitlin Clark averages 19.9 shots per game. Pistol Pete averaged 38.1 shots per game.
Oh man.
That's a little difference.
It's a little different. Yeah. The thing about Clark,
limited to 83 games over his three seasons, like you mentioned, because no freshman and no 3-point line. So it's an interesting comparison.
Yeah, that is fair. That kind of levels it out a little bit then. People think Clark's a ball hog, but she's averaging 8 assists a game too.
Right.
And again, 19 shots and she's averaging 30 points a game. That's pretty dang efficient.
So, right.
I know people hate really, really good basketball players. They kind of turn them into the villain. Kind of like people have turned Zach Edey into a villain, even though he seems like a really good guy. Just because he's really good and he dominates them, people hate him. Same thing goes with Caitlin Clark. She's under this microscope, which you are once you become this superstar, super famous. So now she gets these, you know, she's a flopper because she, you know, that court storm she kind of got bumped into. And then yesterday there was a thing where the Ohio State girl got a technical and they said it was Clark's fault. People who hate Clark said it was her fault. So you're under this microscope, but she's done a pretty dang good job of kind of keeping that noise out. Just going out there and winning, although they did not win the Big Ten, believe it or not.
No.
Ohio State did. So they got to a national title game last year, and I'm pretty sure they'd feel like it's national title or bust this year.
Yeah, and I think I've seen some people on social media land out there in social media land, I should say, saying that to solidify herself as the greatest women's college basketball player ever, she's got to lead Iowa to a national championship victory.
Yeah, and I know, I think
I don't know.
When Evan and I were on here, we talked about Jay Williams' really dumb comments.
Well, he makes dumb comments every week. So
I don't even think – I wouldn't even put her in that grade. I have that Kobe mentality. You got to go win, which is the dumbest thing ever. She could have easily gone to UConn and won 3 national titles, you know. But she wanted to
They could have used her because they've kind of – they're.
Yeah, they've kind of –
I mean, they're still a very good program, but they're not as dominant as they used to be.
Yeah. So she could have easily done that, but she decided to stay home and build something there. And, you know, they got to a national title game last year.
Right.
So, it was asinine, Jay Williams.
She's done a ton for the women's game. I mean,
for sure.
Sellouts everywhere they go on the road. I think if I read correctly, the senior day price, of admission for the ticket at Iowa was around $500, which is crazy. Do you think this changes the women's game going forward? I mean, I'm hoping maybe there's some young girls out there, maybe the next future Caitlin Clark out there watching her and inspiring and it to be her. But do you think that changes anything in the near future?
Maybe in the near future. You know, obviously, especially little girls in Iowa want to go out and be the next Caitlin Clark, or really anywhere want to be the next Caitlin Clark. So maybe that'll get their interest in women's basketball, and which is a good thing. And I know NBC made money off of them by forcing the game to be on Peacock a few weeks ago when she broke the all-time women's record. Yep. So I'm sure they're very happy with her contributions, as you can
sure.
tell. Very sarcastic about that. I mean, it doesn't hurt at all.
No.
So.
You know, I don't think they'll have as many eyeballs on women's college basketball next year just due to their absence, unless somebody else steps up and starts doing some crazy record-breaking performances. And, you know, I've also saw out there on social media, and this comes to no surprise of anybody, especially yourself, I don't think, is I've seen people comparing, well, women's basketball isn't like men's basketball. So how can we compare these records? It's like – that's dumb. That's the oldest argument in the book for anything sports related that has two different genders playing. I mean, that's just laziness.
Yeah. And we witness greatness with Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
And that's exactly what it is. There's no point of comparing Pistol Pete or Doug McDermott to Caitlin Clark and the other lady. Who's the other girl? Was it Kelsey Plum that did it?
Yes. Kelsey Plum. Yep.
It's just stupid. It's just stupid. Just recognize greatness when you see it.
Yep. And it's like, you know, it's hard to compare in any sport. You know, it's hard to compare Dan Marino with Patrick Mahomes because how the game has changed and evolved. It's like we just need to appreciate the good players, the legends, the present good players, the future good players for what they are and their greatness while playing when they did.
Yeah, it's always been this way ever since sports have been invented.
I know, and it's always going to be because it's easy conversation, it's easy content.
Yeah, well, and like the old guard always thinking, well, back in my day, each generation says the back in my day sort of deal. We're going to continue to get that, and it's just stupid to compare because, as you said, with Mahomes and Marino, completely different game.
Yep.
Completely different game with Pistol Pete and Caitlin Clark. 40 plus years later. So
Yep. And here's where I want to work in LeBron James. LeBron James over the weekend surpassed the 40,000 career points mark, first player in NBA history to do so, in a losing effort, I might add, to the Denver Nuggets, which I watched the last 3 minutes of that game because Purdue, Michigan State ended. I was just looking for something to watch. I'm like, oh, this game's on. And when I turned it on, I think Nuggets were up one or was tied, and the Nuggets went on a big old run and kind of blew them out. And Nuggets are fun to watch for an NBA team, I got to admit. Lakers are not good for as much talent as they have. I can't figure it out. But what are your thoughts on LeBron James overall? I know we talk about him from time to time on the podcast, but like on J-Man's Mount Rushmore of NBA players, is he on the Mount Rushmore?
Oh, I think he's in the top two.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really have a Mount Rushmore conversation without him being on it, in my opinion.
I agree.
40K, I mean, he's the first guy ever to do it. Of course, his longevity has been in the league for 20
years. Yeah, I was going to say, but everybody says he plays for 21 years, so he should be breaking records like that. You still got to go out and get it done.
And to play at this high of a level at 39 years old is pretty unbelievable.
He's unhuman.
I think his days of winning titles are probably over unless he, you know, I don't know, go somewhere else again, because I don't think it's going to happen with L.A.
I don't either.
Too many personalities out there. Same with Golden State, too. They're battling for that play-in game at this point.
Unbelievable.
He's in the top two. It's Jordan, LeBron, and then whoever comes after that, in my opinion.
Well, you know, and that's another – I mean, we could do a whole podcast probably on Mount Rushmore of NBA players because we get into the Eras conversation again.
Yeah.
You know, Wilt, Magic, Bird, even Jordan against LeBron. You know, I would throw Kobe out there on my Mount Rushmore. But yeah, I mean, you like him, you hate him, you love him, whatever. I mean, I'm not, I one time was a pretty big LeBron fan. I'm not anymore, but I still appreciate greatness when I see it. And NBA is going to be weird when he retires.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be kind of like when Tom Brady retired or, whoever in baseball you can even put in there, but it'll be interesting to see when he decides to hang it up. I know he wants to play a season with his son in the NBA, and
Bronny's not ready, not even close to being ready. But
5 points a game on an under 500 USC team. Now, with that being said, because he's LeBron, he will get Bronny on an NBA team, and they will play together.
Oh, absolutely.
Look at Giannis and Thanasis Antetokounmpo right now. Thanasis has no business being near a Canadian League team at this point. And he's on an NBA team because of who his brother is.
Yeah.
So Bronny will definitely get a shot in the NBA. Maybe he decides to jump. Would be really stupid to try to jump now. But I know his dad's career is winding down a little bit. He'll be 40 next year, 40 this year. At some point.
Yeah, in December, I think.
So
I want to say he's the same birthday as Tiger Woods.
Hopefully LeBron has his son's best interest in heart, which I assume he does. So, and that would be to stay in school.
Yes, LeBron James is going to be 40 on December 30th. He has the same birthday as Tiger Woods and the legendary friend of the podcast, Aaron Lynch.
Yeah, Aaron Lynch, future or former Milwaukee Bucks GM in his own head.
Yes, that's right. Never forget about 2012 or 13-ish when he made that comment. Yeah. So, have you watched much NBA at all this season besides the game you actually went to?
The game I went to, I think, was the only minutes of NBA I've watched this year. For some reason, in October when the season starts, I kind of get out and watch maybe IO a little bit, but I, especially with Big Ten basketball hot and heavy in January and February, I just don't even think about the NBA. So
I tuned into the playoffs a little bit last year. Maybe I'll do that again. But for everybody out there that doesn't know, in Tan and J-Man Show Nation, Josh and I have made a pact that when, not if, when the NBA brings back the Seattle Supersonics,
I'm with
both becoming fans so we can finally like a we finally root for a team together.
Team together, yeah. That's the whole reason that I would do it, because we have no team in common. In fact, majority of our teams hate each other. Mm-hmm. At least one of them hates each other.
Yeah, college or college teams.
Yeah, the other ones don't really care about each other. Don't play each other very often, I should say.
Right, but. Right. Mine are usually two. NFL, mine's in a spot right now where they never play yours because yours is making playoffs. Mine's usually in the bottom of the division, so or at least third place in the division.
And the last time they did was a butt whooping epic
sports. I almost forgot about that game because I just put it out of my mind, out of my misery. But it will go down as a chapter in the Russell Wilson era in Denver, which officially today, officially next Wednesday comes to an end. But they notified Russell Wilson and made an announcement around the league that come next Wednesday, March 13th, which is the start of the 2024 NFL season. Russell Wilson is going to be released. So they're going to have to eat that 85? In the middle.
It's an $85 million dead cap hit.
Yep. Over 2 years. It's wild to think Russell Wilson never played a down of his actual 5-year contract extension with the Denver Broncos. The 2 years he played were the 2 years they picked up from Seattle.
Yeah.
Pretty dang wild to think about.
Yeah. Worst trade in NFL history as of now.
Yeah. I think it's got to be. Yeah. 11-19 record.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It had better moments this year than it did last year, but obviously just wasn't enough for Sean Payton and ultimately George Payton and the Walton group to stick it out. So, you know, I think if he would have restructured his contract, they would have kept him on the hook for one more year, but they didn't want to keep him on the hook for the 2025 money. That was the big thing. You know, I like Russell Wilson, the person. I was hoping it was going to work out. I was really optimistic it was going to work out at the time. I thought Denver, for years, I kept saying they're quarterback away. They went and got what was thought as at the time one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and it just didn't work out. I think he lands on his feet, but it's going to be very intriguing to see where he lands, because I think there's only three, maybe four potential teams he could land and be a starter. And some other quarterbacks out there in free agency and, of course, the NFL draft are going to have a say in that.
Yeah.
And those four teams in my head are the Atlanta Falcons, which he's an upgrade over Desmond Ridder.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, they could be in on Justin Fields if and when the Bears decide to move him. Because I
think the entire market will be held up until the Chicago Bears trade Justin Fields.
I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. I know they came out in support of Kenny Pickett, but
he's terrible.
He's not that good. Minnesota's an interesting one because I think they want to keep Kirk Cousins, but Kirk Cousins wants $90-ish million on 2 years. And if there's other teams out there that really want to throw more money his way, he might land somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And Tennessee Titans, I will throw them in the mix, even though they have Will Levis. It doesn't hurt to bring a veteran in for competition.
Yeah. New head coach out there too. Who knows? And I think new general manager. So who knows what they think of Will Levis. Maybe they want to try somebody different and get somebody better fit for their scheme in Tennessee.
But besides that, I don't see anywhere else he can land to be a starter. I mean, maybe New England. But I think New England is going to end up drafting a quarterback at 3.
New too.
Whether that be Jaden Daniels or Drake May.
Same with Washington.
Or a mock draft I sold today, J.J. McCarthy going 3. So,
yeah. After the combine, it seems like McCarthy's got some helium to get in that top 10-ish. So, I think we could have 5 quarterbacks easily in the top 10.
That's not good for my team sitting there at 12. But if they want a guy bad enough, they'll trade up and get him. And if not, that means maybe they did something free agency, because I just don't see them rolling into week 1 with Jarrett Stidham behind center.
No.
I think he's going to be on the roster, but.
Yeah, Denver's done the veteran quarterback thing here the past 4 or 5 years, and it hasn't worked out very well. Now, that's not to say it's not going to work out the next time they do it.
they've swung every which direction since Peyton Manning. They've done the first round quarterback, Paxton Lynch, bust. They've done the second round quarterback with Drew Lock and Brock Osweiler, even though I'll die on the hill that if Osweiler would have re-signed with them after Super Bowl year, his career could have been differently. Maybe not would have been great, wouldn't have been great, but it would have been differently than it did when he went to Houston, then Cleveland, back to Denver, then Miami. Now he's commentating. But yeah, I'm tired of it, but it's I'm prepared for another pretty bummer to mediocre season coming up, because if they don't get a quarterback, then it's going to be the same thing in a yet tougher AFC West division now that you add Harbaugh to the mix. And who knows what the Raiders are going to do. And the Chiefs are the Chiefs.
When does the new league year start? Is it 2 weeks?
Next Wednesday, 13th.
Next Wednesday, okay.
That's when it becomes official. Yeah, move for Russell Wilson. So, yeah, we'll be talking in 2 weeks. We'll be talking about a bunch of free agent moves. So,
yeah, and honestly, this time next week, we might hear some rumors with the legal tampering period opening for, because it opens for about 3 days, right? 2 to 3 days.
Yeah, and usually in the NFL, you know, a whole day ahead of time, pretty much where a lot of the big boys are going.
Yeah,
just like the NBA. I
wish they do that in baseball because it drags out.
They should. But yeah, the NFL never sleeps. It's fascinating. I mean, it was news I was expecting. I wasn't shocked, but I'm glad they did a whole week ahead of time just to get it out there and get it over with, because everybody knew it was coming. They were just, from a public relations standpoint, saying what they could say and had to say at the combine as far as Peyton.
Yeah.
And everybody read between the tea leaves. So,
Yep.
But I have a pick six list for you this week. And it's a mix between NFL and MLB this week, starting with Mike Evans.
Yeah, he got the deal done back to Tampa. He is – I don't even know if I wouldn't call him underrated, but maybe because who he plays for, he doesn't get that hype, although he's consistently every single year of his career, he's put up 1,000 yards receiving. Mm-hmm. Easy first ballot Hall of Famer when his career ends too. And it's nice to see a guy stay loyal to the franchise that took him, and now he'll be there 10 plus years. So through multiple quarterbacks, and I'm sure he's hoping Baker will be back.
He is, because I think Mike Evans, you know, he said he wants to play on a playoff caliber team that has a good quarterback. I'm reading between tea leaves there with 2-year, $54 million deal that Baker's coming back. Yeah. Or if he had any doubt, maybe he tests free agent waters a little bit more.
Yeah. The funny thing is, he said the exact same thing DeAndre Hopkins said last year. He wanted to go play for an elite quarterback that could win a Super Bowl. And Hopkins ended up with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee.
And Will Evans.
Good for Evans, especially. That is the most winnable division, I think, in sports.
I don't think it's going to change much this year.
No.
So. Jason Kelce.
Yeah, retired today. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer as well. I wonder if they wouldn't have started this podcast if he would have this kind of reception.
Think he would have.
Yeah, his fame got incredibly boosted by this podcast. People got to see his personality and, of course, who his brother is and all that.
And who his brother dates, let's be honest.
And now who his brother dates, that also helps. But very well-spoken guy. Seems like a lot of fun, too. Fun to hang out with.
Absolutely.
And he showed up to his press conference today wearing some flip-flops.
And a cutoff. Chris Mortensen.
He's unfortunately passed away yesterday. I don't know. I remember he battled cancer for a little bit, if I remember correctly. Only 72 years old, though. I thought he was a little older than that. One of the greatest football commentator, football insiders, writers ever. His career spanned 40 plus years. And now there have been some ESPN guys here that pass away. Obviously, Stuart Scott, and then John Saunders, and then John Clayton as well. So all these NFL guys. So it was a pretty sad day in the sports world.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, he was Peyton Manning's, I guess you could say, favorite journalist. He was the one who Peyton trusted the most. He's the one who Peyton first told Mort when he was going to Denver that he was going to Denver. He told Mort that he was retiring before anybody else. So when Peyton Manning trusts you, you're doing things the right way. Yeah. So switching gears to the MLB sticking with the retired segment of Pick Six, Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, he retired today. Yeah, so I literally saw that right before the show. Cubs took him in the first round supplemental draft out of, I believe he's out of Auburn. He was a catcher. Cubs shipped him off for a season and a half of Rich Harden, and Josh Donaldson ends up winning an MVP for the Oakland A's in typical Cubs fashion. Had a really good career. His career ended kind of poorly with the Yankees, and then he's with the Brewers. But really good defensive third baseman, had some power, walked a ton, seemed to be pretty not very well liked even by his teammates. He was kind of a kind of one of those guys that got under his teammates' skin. But, hey, had a good career.
That Mooney here on Facebook said, podcast helped Kelsey to the general public with popularity. Those that watched the line play during the game his whole career, Kelsey's still first ballot without the pod.
No, for sure.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. This guy got a big old extension today, Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, highest per year extension in history, which is what the Phillies had to do to keep it just 3 years, because, I mean, Wheeler's 32 years old. Remember when the Phillies signed Roy Halladay? And he was awesome. Zach Wheeler's been even better in his first however many starts than Halladay was. So good for him getting paid. He's ended up having a really good career. He had some injury issues early with the Mets, and then went to the Giants, and he's kind of bounced around, but kind of found a home in Philadelphia. He's nasty.
Yeah, the Phillies were wheeling and dealing for that one.
Yeah.
And last one, Blake Snell.
Still, he's still unsigned, right? He hasn't signed.
Still unsigned. Just Boris is saying he and Montgomery are getting some traction. That was a Boris
report. Well, maybe the game's kind of passed Scott Boris by, because he was asking for $250 million for Belly. He ends up signing for $80. He was asking $150 mil for Matt Chapman, and he ended up signing a 4-year, $50 million deal with the Giants. So, maybe he kind of overplayed his hand a little bit. Blake Snell, he just won a Cy Young, I believe, didn't he, this past year? Jordan Montgomery had a great year. He started with the Cardinals and then went to the Rangers. Won a almost said Super Bowl, won a World Series with them. So pitchers are always real finicky when you're kind of dealing with long-term deals, especially guys that are 30 and older like Snell is. I think Montgomery might be 29, but still. Past 28, it's kind of scary to give a guy a bunch of money, especially a pitcher. We'll see. Maybe they both sign a deal that's kind of similar to Bellinger, where it's a short-term deal, but he has an opt-out after year two and year, or after year one and year two. And you can sign another longer deal in next offseason.
Any guesses where he ends up?
No idea.
Yeah, I don't.
I haven't even heard him mentioned for some teams. I heard him mentioned with the Yankees a while ago.
Yeah, there's some Yankee fans hoping they can get something done, but it's got to be in the Yankees' favor, which I don't see happening. But
yeah, well, these guys keep going into March. They'll start getting desperate, too, and being like, I need to find a team, so I don't care how it is. So their leverage is kind of gone at this point.
Good point.
Montgomery's been mentioned potential Cub at this, but I just don't see Cubs doing anything because the Ricketts want to stay below that luxury tax so they can keep a line in their pockets. Instead of putting a good team out there. So,
I can tell it's going to be a roller coaster season of emotions with the Cubs for you. I can tell already.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be very similar to last year, honestly. Yeah. I think they're better than last year, but
they'll be better managed.
Significantly better managed. Honestly, Rossi kept them out of the playoffs last year.
Yep. That's going to do it for this week's Pick Six segment, which is brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years, yes, 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-38. 15.
You want to be educated here before we get into
you already college. Know my answer is yes.
The New York Yankees are the first team to train outside the U.S. Excuse me. They trained in Bermuda.
Interesting. Did not know that. What year?
1913. Sorry. I forgot to say the year on this day. On this day in 1927, Babe Ruth became the highest paid player in MLB history when he signed a 3-year, $70,000 per season contract.
Money well spent.
Yeah, yeah. Bought him a lot of hot dogs.
I was just going to say that. I literally was just thinking that in my head.
On this day in 1976, Major League Baseball, San Francisco Giants are bought for $8 million by Bob Lurie and Bud Hirsch.
$8 million. That's a lot of money back then.
$8 million. You got to add at least one bill to that at this point.
Yeah.
On this day, not a whole lot of good ones, unfortunately. The first ESPY Awards were on this day in 1993.
I used to tune into those every year. I can't say yeah, I do anymore.
I cannot say. It literally stops at 1995. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That is maybe the worst honest day list we've ever had.
It's terrible. Replacement New York Yankees beat the New York Mets 2-1.
Replacement.
Yeah. Coming off the strike year.
All righty. Hopefully, I got all that smarter today.
No. No. Let's see. Yeah.
Is what it is. Hopefully next week's list is a little longer. A little longer. So, but that is the Honest Day segment, which is brought to you by Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects on Instagram and on Facebook. Their handle on there is at Mooney Woodcrafts. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. Can't talk Thad's sign abilities up enough. Whether you're into sports, whether you want a sign made for your family, whether you're in the military or have a family member or a friend in the military or who has served in the military, he can make all those signs and more. It'd be the perfect Mother's Day gift, the perfect Father's Day gift if we're looking ahead a little bit. So contact Thad. Let him know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you. 15% off your first sign order. Before we get into college hoops talk, the NFL Combine is going on down in Indianapolis. You and I went to the NFL Combine 1 year. I believe it was 2017 or 2018? 2017. 2017. It was Patrick Mahomes' year. Mitchell Trubisky that year. We didn't get to see any of those guys. yeah. I think the best player we saw in the morning session was Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Looking back on it.
The quarterbacks were bad. Josh Dobbs is one that I remember.
Yes, Dobbs. C.J. Beathard. C.J. Beathard. But they've changed the combine experience since we went. When we went, you couldn't talk. Couldn't have your phones out. Now you can do all that. Now you can have your phones out. You can talk. They let the combine goers sit lower at Lucas Oil now. The NFL experience part's still the same thing. That was fun when we went years ago. But I did see where the combine's going to stay in Indy for at least another year.
Good.
Through next year. I think it should stay there all the time, but I'm afraid it's going to move to L.A. or out in California eventually. I hope not. But
yeah, Indianapolis is a perfect spot to host because it's right in the middle of everything. It's easy to walk places. You have the, you know, you have the bridge system, if you will, that can get you from hotel to convention center to all over.
It's great restaurants there within walking distance of Lucas. Well, that's where a lot of deals go down. That's where the Russell Wilson trade went down. Between the forget the exact restaurant. I heard it the other day on a podcast. It was a restaurant I'd never heard of. But I hope it stays in Indy for the foreseeable future. That'd be nice. With that said, have you watched any of the combine? Any rumors you've been reading or hearing stirring up in the combine?
Not really. Dolphins are in such cap hell that
I hear there, brother.
They're not gonna tag Christian Wilkins, so he's likely gone, which just sucks. He's the glue of that defense. So that was put a damper on my weekend.
When they're releasing Xavier Howard, which you weren't too.
No, Xavion looked.
Xavion.
Good player. He hasn't been healthy in 4 years. So his is whatever. Emmanuel Ogba, whatever. Good depth guy. But losing Wilkins will be a dagger to my heart because that dude is elite at defensive tackle spot. Good dude too. So
and Tua's contract's up after next year, right?
Yeah, so I think they'll work hard to get a deal done with him, an extension this offseason. Same with, I think, Waddle and Javon Holland. Those yeah. are the three guys I think they'll try to keep in the fold. Yeah. So, but other than that, I haven't heard anything.
I haven't heard a whole lot either. I mean, everybody's trying to see what the Broncos are going to do at 12 as far as quarterback. You know, they talked to the top three, even though they're not going to be there. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then they really sat down and talked to McCarthy, Penix, Nix, and kid from Tulane. His name's escaping me.
I have no idea.
Pratt, I believe. Pratt, I think that – oh, I should know that off the top of my head. But those are the four. They really kind of maybe are eyeing real hard. I don't know. Part of me wants them to take a quarterback at 12. Part of me wants them to take other players to fill other holes. Fill their needs. I would love Brock Bowers if he's there at 12. I miss Denver having a good tight end. It's been many, many years since they've had a good tight end. I think a good tight end can be such a versatile weapon in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I'll have more thoughts when we get closer to draft. And I need to start working on my mock draft. Come out with a few versions of those like I do every year. So I'll be working on that in the near future. But I've watched a little of the Combine here and there. I know Purdue had one guy go to Combine this year was Tyron Tracy Jr., and he really helped himself at the Combine. He ran a pretty good 40. I think his 40 was a 4.5. But let me look up here. I saw they tweeted some of his stats today. He ran a 6.81 second three-cone drill, which was number one among running backs. 4.06 seconds in the 20-yard shuffle was their second among running backs. He had a 40-inch vertical jump, which was second among running backs. So definitely didn't hurt himself.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say, which it'd be nice for Purdue to get a running back drafted because it does not happen very often.
When's the last one? The All-Star?
Probably because Mostert was undrafted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was probably Mike All-Star. Corey Sheets was undrafted. Yeah. Yeah. So and I know Illinois has got some potential, even though you're not an Illinois football fan. No. I know they got a potential first round pick. So,
yeah. What was I going to say? So much will change from now until April.
Yes.
That I've started to not eat. Like mock drafts, you have guys in there that are projected first rounders and they'll be taken in like the sixth round.
Yeah.
A month and a half. So, It's crazy how all that changes. And the thing that's weird is, you know, the combine happens and then like I think I read Illinois having their pro day on Friday. So it seems like there's not much time for guys to improve on anything that they needed to improve on from the combine to the pro day. But hey, what do I know?
Yep. My wife put out a challenge tonight. She thinks that we need to face each other in a combine drill or combine drills.
No, thank you.
I told her we can't do it this year because we're, of course, two states away from or a state away from each other. Yeah. I said maybe in a year if you give us both time to train.
Yeah, give us both time to train. Because honestly, I just had a baby and I don't want to drop dead at this point.
I am throwing out the challenge to you for next year.
Trying to stay alive at this
point. We could come out with a list, but 40-yard dash got to be on there. Vertical jump's got to be on there.
I haven't ran since 2012.
Hey, you got a year, man. I'm giving you a year prep.
$20 on Tanner. Come on, Thad. I think I could outbench you.
You could outbench me, I would say. Even with a year of the train, you could probably outbench
me. Yeah, I could dominate you on the sled, I would say, if we're throwing that out there.
Vertical and broad jump, we're both going to be awful at it, so...
I'm going to Kevin wear my leg on the vertical.
I'm going to Ken Griffey myself on 40-yard dash.
Yeah. Pull out a hammy. Yeah.
Well, I told her that the only other challenge we've ever made is, and COVID ruined it. I don't know if you remember this. Back in 2020, I issued you a one-on-one basketball challenge to first one to 20 by twos and threes. And I had it set up. My mom was still a teacher at the time. We were going to use her elementary school's gym and we were ready to go, and unfortunately, the pandemic hit, and we never got around to it again. So.
You're very lucky the pandemic hit, too, because
oh yeah,
that would have been a whooping.
Well, maybe we'll have to do that. I think that one might be a little easier to pull off than
that one would be a little more fun.
Maybe. I don't know. That still sounds exhausting, but
it does. But at least there's a game we're playing where
that's true.
Yeah,
that's just true. But if we're like cold
boot camp for
first one to 20 might take a long time.
Yeah, we'll have to take like six breaks in between. Be an hour and a half in. It'll be 6 to 6.
But I told her I'd throw out the challenge. So I threw out the challenge. We'll do something fun for potential viral content one of these days when we get together someday. So something that we won't maybe hurt ourselves too bad in the making of. So with all that said, let's stick with basketball's talk since we were just talking one-on-one talk. College hoops, we are in March. We are in the last season of the regular season for the Big Ten, for the Power Six conferences. Some of the mid majors have their conference tournaments this week.
Yeah.
So it is real. March Madness is really upon us. Big Ten standings. The Boilers beat Michigan State Saturday night. So no matter what, they clinched a tie for their Big Ten record 26th Big Ten championship. All they got to do this week is win one of two against Illinois or Wisconsin. They become outright champs. But you never know. That's easier said than done. So still a lot to be played for. Still a lot to be played for teams in the middle of the pack in the Big Ten standings. Iowa's trying to make a push to get in that tournament. Michigan State's trying to fall out of the tournament.
Yeah.
A team like Minnesota, maybe they probably have to have a little run in the conference tournament. Maybe they can make a run. We have teams like Ohio State's really on fire. Since they fired Holtman, you got Indiana who won two back-to-back now after a four-game skid, which
I don't know if you heard, but they're peaking, according to Andy Katz. They are peaking.
And Andy Katz knows who writes his checks. So.
He's an idiot.
How are you feeling about your Illini heading into the last week and then into the conference tournament, into the NCAA tournament? And what's your scope of the Big Ten overall and outside the Big Ten nationally?
If you would have told me coming into the year that Illinois would be 22-7, 13-5 in the conference heading into the final week, I would be over the moon. Over the moon. Is that the phrase?
Mm-hmm.
Over the moon.
Sounds good enough to me anyways.
Yeah. And I'm still over the moon. This team is playing some really good basketball offensively, and I think their defense has been better than they got whooped by Minnesota defensively the other night, although they won. But I thought their defense, even though they gave up 81 to Wisconsin, was a lot better there. But since Shannon's been back, 88 points a game, they can score with the best of them. It's all about getting stops. And they've been able to get stops when they've needed to late in games against Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, those kind of games. So feel pretty good about where they're at. Big week, though, two quad one opportunities, as you said, tomorrow night. Game of the year in the Big Ten, and it's on the Peacock. And then they travel to Iowa City, who Iowa's making a push. They win in Northwestern, which isn't easy to do. They were without Ty Berry, but they were also without Langborn. And Nicholson got hurt midway through, and I don't think he played the rest of the game. So they were helped by that, but it was huge for them to win that one, because now they have opportunities this week to get back in there. I saw Lenardi had him in his first four out. So they're definitely, after not even being on the radar for all season, they are now in position to be in position, as your boy Rothstein says.
Oh, yeah, my boy. All right.
As you said, Ohio State's playing a lot better since they fired Holtman, and maybe Diebler's making a case to not only keep the job, but at least maybe make a case for a mid-major job.
I think
would be the most likely scenario.
I mean, he's obviously got something. I mean, we knew Ohio State had talent. That's why it was always it was puzzling. Like, why is Holtman not doing better than he is, especially this year? And it usually you see teams just folded in when a coaching change happens at this point of season, but it's lit a spark in Ohio State. I wouldn't want to play them in the Big Ten tournament.
Oh, yeah, they're one team that I would very much like Illinois to avoid, because they are a lot better than they were when Illinois played them a month or so ago.
They got nothing to lose. I mean,
yeah, nothing to lose. Illinois became the first school ever to win four straight at the Kohl Center, so that was pretty cool. Since Underwood got to Illinois, he is 15-0 against Juwan Howard. Believe it or not, no, that can't be right. according to the, he's 15-0 against Juwan Howard and Greg Gard since the start of the 2019 season, where Wisconsin had won 15 straight against Illinois coming into the 19 season, and I think Michigan had won 13 of 15. Nebraska had won like 5 of 9, and they have not lost to any of those teams. Minnesota had won like 3 of 4 against them coming in. None of those teams have beaten Illinois since. So Underwood's really turned it around, and this is by far his best coaching job. They have the most wins in the Big Ten since 2019 season. He hasn't won Coach of the Year because they've been projected to be really good, which I think is kind of wrong. Because I know Matt Painter, even though they were projected to be really good, they've lost 3 games, and he should absolutely be in consideration for Coach of the Year.
Well, last year he didn't get it, and Chris Collins got it.
Exactly. And it'll be Fred Hoiberg this year.
Yeah, it will. No doubt.
But what Underwood did with – he had the best offseason, arguably, of any coach in the conference, getting Marcus Domas, 16 points a game, Quincy Guerrier, 8 double-doubles, Justin Harmon, glue guy off the bench, keeping Hawkins and Shannon – and then Shannon's suspension, keeping the team together. Then Shannon comes back and getting them all to gel together again. So he's done a really good job, and people need to get off his back. He needs the tournament success, much like Painter does. But people need to get off these really good basketball coaches' back. I think Painter and Underwood are top 2 coaches in the conference.
Hard to disagree with you there, but it's we live in a world for – What do you do in March? Which I get, but there's so much more to the season. Big Ten championships still matter. Big Ten regular season still matters. I mean, because you got to put your team in good position to be seeded well in March. Matt won his 5th Big Ten championship the other day, so he's only 1 back from Gene Katie now for a Purdue record. He won it in 2017, 2019. Last year and this year. Could have won in 2018 if they could have grabbed a dang rebound. Yeah. But instead, they lost to Ohio State, even though they only lost 3 conference games that year. And then 2 years ago, they had lose on 4 different buzzer beaters on the road. It didn't win the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So he could have, even 2 more. And in the Baby Boilers year, they were darn close. And Wisconsin hit a half quarter to pretty much wrap up the conference that year. Against somebody. So he's done a good job, producing a good position. Tomorrow night's game's got to be tough. It's got to be probably the toughest. Toughest conference challenge they've had. I was going to say toughest challenge while they had a gauntlet of non-conference. Yeah. But toughest conference game, like you mentioned, is on Peacock, which I know there's a lot of people still mad about that, but here's what I'm going to say, what I always say. You better get used to it. You better saddle up and pay the $4.99, $5.99, because streaming – isn't going anywhere. No. It's only going to get more relevant with the world of sports. Look at this new deal that Fox, ESPN, and Warner Brothers Discovery just inked for the start in the fall. I mean, I don't know what it looks like exactly, but that's 3 huge players in the sports landscape, and they're going to come out with their own streaming app. So not going anywhere. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah. It just – the thing that makes me mad is it leaves the old people that have no clue how to work that kind of stuff.
It does.
Like my grandmother, who's 85 years old and can barely work a cell phone. No offense,
Grandma. Oh, it does. It does. No, I hear you.
But it is the way it goes. And I hate it too. I mean, I have Peacock, but your internet lags a little bit on a Tuesday night and the game's buffering. That doesn't happen on cable. It only happens via streaming. So you can have a bad internet night and you're screwed out of watching a game, which is the thing that annoys me.
I was going to say Storm can knock it out, but Storm can knock out cable too. So cable.
Yeah. But it is what it is at this point.
I mean, we're seeing the NFL starting to have
a playoff game.
Yeah, streaming exclusive only. So that's the direction we're heading in big time.
For sure.
Big time. But so if you want to watch that Purdue Illinois game, if you're a fan of either team or just a fan of good basketball and you haven't subscribed to Peacock yet, or you can just do the 7-day free trial, then just as long as you remember to cancel it after the week's over, you can do that too.
Yep.
So, but you want to pick some games?
Let's do it.
All right. Let me pull the games up here. Well, that's the lone game tomorrow night in Big Ten. I thought there was another one. Number three, Purdue. They fell from two to three at number 12, Illinois, 7 o'clock on the Peacock.
Yeah, I saw the opening line was Illinois minus one. I'm sure that'll change. Marcus Domask was awesome the other night, and he was awesome against Purdue the first time. They did not have Shannon the first time, and Domask and Shannon are the first pair of Power Six teammates with 3 30-point games each in a season since RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson of Duke, and they're the first pair of Big Ten teams to do it this century. And the first Illini ever to do it. This will be the J-Man's Book It prediction of the week.
Knew that was coming.
The Illini, get it done. Book it! I'm not as confident as I am letting on, because honestly, Purdue has had Illinois' number. I think Underwood's beaten Painter twice, two or three times.
Yeah,
I think he's like 2-10 or 3-10, something like that. Senior night, I don't know. I think Purdue wins, but I'm already backtracking. give me a line eye by one. J-Man's Book of the Week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watching for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watching@infb.com.
Well, what worries me is Purdue hasn't played their best defensively as of late. Even during the 80-74 win over Michigan State the other night, defense looked problematic at times. But Michigan State shot the ball pretty well at a pretty good clip for a little while, and then they went ice cold. But so stopping Illinois is going to be a problem. I mean, Illinois kept coming back against Purdue the first time after Purdue got a huge lead, but never did have the ball where they had a chance to tie or take the lead. I haven't felt good about this matchup in weeks. Just on paper, don't feel good about it going in tomorrow night. So I think I'm not going to say Illini get done easily. I still think it's a single digit game, but I think Illinois does beat Purdue tomorrow night.
Your lack of confidence makes me even more scared. Edie's going to get his. He didn't do a whole lot the first time because he was in
foul trouble.
Guys like Trey Kaufman ran, killed him. Just have to contain Braden Smith for one, because he was awesome in the first half.
He's been he raises his level of play against good opponents.
Yeah. Having Shannon back helps tremendously, especially defensively. So we'll see.
Yeah,
I think either Illinois wins a close one or Purdue wins by double digits. Illinois is
I don't see digits. Purdue winning by double digits.
It'll be rocking for sure.
It'll probably come down to Purdue's turnovers. On the road, when they turn over the ball, they get beat. When they don't, they
problem win. Is Illinois does not force turnovers.
Something's got to give there.
Or it can just be, you know, Illinois doesn't force turnovers and Purdue doesn't turn
them over. I guess, but yeah.
As long as Illinois doesn't turn the ball over, because they have not been turning the ball over. And their offense has been ridiculous. So they're due for a bad shooting night, which just makes me nervous. I'd rather get it out of the way now than in 2 weeks, you know.
Yeah, no, that's very, very well said. Very well said. A Wednesday night, Northwestern at Michigan State. Big one for Spurs.
Man, huge one. Northwestern needs Langborn back for sure. Michigan State, they go to Indiana on Saturday or Sunday. I think it's Sunday. It's conceivable they could lose those two and make it a 5-game losing streak. And then if they lose the first round of the Big Ten tourney, I don't think you can put them in the tourney.
They will, though.
They absolutely will. They'll put them in the play-in game. They'll barely be over 500 at that point.
No.
But Izzo will always get his team in there. I don't think the Michigan State team is very good. We've talked about it a bunch that we thought it was crazy they're ranked fourth.
Even though we both had them finishing second in the Big Ten.
Did we?
Yeah, I went back and checked. But
well, I had Maryland finishing third, so what do I know?
I think I had Ohio State fourth. So
yeah.
Yeah. But I think Michigan State wins at home.
Yeah, give me Michigan State at home.
Indiana at Minnesota.
Indiana's peaking. Minnesota was down 20-something in the first half against Penn State, then outscored them by 28 the rest of the game. Minnesota's so much better than what they were the past couple years. I saw that on Wednesday night. They're literally – the first team across 300,000 games in the NBA, WNBA, men's and women's college basketball to score 95-plus points, turn it over 5 times or less, shoot 70% from three. Only team to do it. And that's not even just in a loss. Only team to do it, and they somehow still lost. So they're a lot better. Give me Minnesota.
I am taking the Golden Gophers as well. Thursday night, Rutgers at Wisconsin.
Give me Wisconsin. Rutgers bad. Wisconsin bad too, though.
Taking the Badgers as well. Saturday, only one game. 9 o'clocker, Minnesota at Northwestern.
Northwestern at home.
Then Sunday, got a whole slate of games. Nebraska at Michigan.
Oh, man, Nebraska needs that one. I think they're pretty
safe. If
they
lose that one,
they'll start sweating a little bit. Give me Nebraska, though. Michigan is dead.
They are done.
Juwan Howard, you know, missed the first couple games. He is 3-15 since he's been back on the sideline.
He can't be back next year, right?
Can't be.
We got Wisconsin at Purdue, which especially if Illinois beats Purdue tomorrow night, that's a huge game because if Purdue loses – then the Illini have a chance to tie and get the one seed in the Big Ten tournament. But if Purdue would beat Wisconsin, then Purdue's the outright Big Ten champs.
Give me Purdue. If Illinois does win out this week, that Penn State collapse, the final minute's going to look real bad.
Sure. I'm taking Purdue at home as well. It'd be the third time in Mackey Arena history that they go undefeated for a season. The other two were the 2018-19 season and 10-11 season. Yeah. Ohio State at Rutgers.
It's tough to win in Jersey, Mike. Give me Rutgers.
I'll take Ohio State. Going with a hot team. So, Michigan State at Indiana. That's CBS game. Imagine that. Indiana gets another CBS game.
Give me Michigan State. I think they have a good week.
I'm taking Indiana. Close one. I don't know why. Something about senior day.
Yeah.
That's simply.
Well, I mean, Michigan State's front court is so bad. So bad. And IU's front court's really good. Now, Michigan State's guard play is much better than Indiana, so it kind of evens out. But
yep. And Izzo will coach. He could, if you want to, coach circles around Woodson. But I don't know. Tommy's not having fun. I could see maybe not this year. I think Tommy's ending up in East Lansing. He's getting close.
Yeah.
Close. Illinois at Iowa.
First one to 90 wins this one. Give me Illinois.
Sorry, J-Man, especially if Illinois beats Purdue, I'm taking Iowa. I think then Illinois kind of has a letdown. Iowa might really need it. So
I think Iowa will really, really need it.
And then Maryland at Penn State. That wraps up. That's the final regular season game.
I'm hoping Maryland gets a win because they're 74th in the net right now. And if they drop below 75, that loss Illinois had to him turns into a quad threer. So go Maryland.
I'm taking Penn State because they're at home. Why not? I don't know. I don't think either team's very good. So, yep. Top 25 games. We don't have a lot of time, so maybe I shouldn't even be doing this. Let's just fast forward to the weekend ones. See if there's any. There's got to be some ranked matchups, right?
There were a ton this past weekend.
Kansas at Houston, number 7 against number 1. Well,
give me Houston. Kansas is free falling.
I'm taking Houston as well. Kentucky at Tennessee.
Give me Tennessee.
Take Tennessee as well. North Carolina at Duke.
Duke.
I am taking Duke as well. I won't do any more since we're running out of time.
Birdie or bogey? Last time Purdue went to the Final Four was 1980. Can you name the 5 opponents they played in the NCAA tournament? And then a bonus afterwards of who they played
in this game. I can't, so give me a bogey. I'm gonna try to name a couple, but I cannot name you 5. I don't even know if this is the right year. Was Indiana one of them?
They were the Sweet 16. They beat them in the Sweet 16.
Was Iowa one of them?
Iowa was the third place game, so I'll give it to you.
Third place game, okay.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Gosh, other than that, was Duke one of them?
Duke was the Elite Eight.
I don't know the first or second. I'm just going to throw out some names. Was LSU one of them?
They were not.
How about, I know they played these team in the NCAA tournament. I don't know what year. Georgia?
Nope.
Okay, give me a bogey.
Round of 64, they beat LaSalle.
Nah.
Round of 32, they beat St. John's.
Nope.
Sweet 16 beat Indiana. Yeah. Elite 8 beat Duke. Lost to UCLA.
So UCLA. Yeah. Okay.
And then beat Iowa. I don't know if they won or lost Iowa. I cut that off. But they played Iowa in the third
place. Well, they beat them for the third place game. They beat Iowa. Okay. All right. Well, I got a couple of them, right? I'll take that. So that was a toughie, but I like that though. I like that because it's in my wheelhouse. So I'm not gonna be mad at you for that one. So pretty good one there.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode to preview the Big Ten Tournament, one of our favorite weeks, if not our favorite week of the year, college basketball. Have a fantastic week, everybody. We'll be back at her.